This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. And as I mentioned, most of our criminal justice system does rely on publicly run organizations, but for-profit companies have found a giant toehold in the industry. It's a trend that concerns our guest, New Yorker journalist Sarah Stillman. She's written a long investigative piece about it and joins me now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
What are some of the alternatives that you explored to publicly run jails or probations?
Well, I was looking at the fact that, you know, many people are familiar with the idea of private prisons, and that's something that's been subject to very healthy public debate for decades. And that is the same has not been true for a growing set of industries that range from private probation in the context of small courts across the country, particularly in the South, also private for-profit halfway houses, for-profit work release centers, and a range of what have traditionally been considered kind of alternatives to incarceration.
Why are we seeing more of those alternative providers?
Well, yeah, I think there's a number of arguments there, but one thing that seems really worth asking is that I think we're finally at a very exciting moment in the history of kind of criminal justice in our country, insofar as, you know, for the past three decades, our prisons have been growing and growing and growing. And finally, there seems to be a conversation on the left and the right that perhaps, you know, prisons are not serving us particularly well. Perhaps mass incarceration is simply too expensive, both fiscally and morally. So, you know, as we turn towards looking to alternatives, there's a growing number of sort of private sector interests, including many private prisons, where there have been a number of accusations of abuse that have been also moving into the realm of alternatives where a lot of the sort of money is potentially shifting in the future.
Is this centered in a particular region of the country more than any other?
Well, I was looking at a range of industries in the piece, and I spent a lot of time looking at the private probation industry in the context of very overcrowded jails where people are facing kind of really minor offenses and are often being jailed for something as simple as debt. And that's happening, that's particularly pervasive as a practice in the South in states like Alabama and Georgia. But we're increasingly seeing that move across the country. And even in places where there's not private probation companies operating, we're seeing people being incarcerated because they're unable to pay court fees and fines, people who may in fact be indigent.
I'm speaking with Sarah Stillman, a journalist who profiled the rising industry of alternatives to publicly funded probation or halfway houses. And Sarah, what worries you most about the private companies that you saw up close?
Well, you know, I was speaking with a number of judges in the South, particularly in Alabama, where I was focusing on cases of people who were genuinely indigent, people who were unemployed or who were employed in very low-wage jobs, who in many cases had charges as simple as some unpaid traffic tickets, and they were put on these payment plans with private probation companies that were charging what some have argued are exorbitant fees for people who are indigent. So they were paying a monthly fee that not only went towards their court costs for the unpaid tickets, but also was going, some of it was going directly to the private company. And these fees just compounded and compounded and compounded, and their debt compounded such that they actually wound up being incarcerated when they couldn't pay. And when it comes to the question of what is worrisome about that, a lot of constitutional scholars have argued that there's very clear constitutional precedent that we're in this country not actually supposed to be charging, incarcerating people who are unable to pay for court fees and fines. Our country kind of abolished the debtor's prison more than two centuries ago.
Who regulates these private alternatives?
That's another of the big sort of questions that's up for grabs. Currently, it sort of differs dramatically from state to state, but there's an increasing worry among a lot of local groups that represent sort of the interest of people in poverty, and a number of judges who worry that not only is there not a lot of regulation, but there's also very little transparency about both the very large profits being made and how exactly they're being made. So there's currently a big push in many of these states for greater transparency and accountability.
Most states across the country are short on funds. That was true before 2008, especially true since the recession. And it seemed like an impetus for states to look to privately run alternatives is financial. So as that push, that need still exists for money, is there some place in the system for a privately run company?
That's a really good question, because you're exactly right that the turn towards these companies, particularly towards private probation and municipal courts, comes in part from a very real predicament, which is that many of these courts have been defunded. Several judges told me that this came partly from votes in the legislature in Alabama that were kind of radically defunding the court system. So, you know, these judges have to find a way to stay afloat and keep their courtrooms operating. And, you know, many of the courtrooms I visited around the South or around Alabama were dilapidated, bug-infested, mold-infested, and these judges were genuinely trying to, you know, generate the revenues they needed through more aggressive means of collection of traffic tickets and other minor offenses. So they were turning to the companies for help with that. And I guess sort of the real question is, you know, are there the traditional means of funding the court being kind of in the hands partly of legislators? The debate needs to take place at the legislative level.
Sarah Stillman, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Sarah Stillman's recent article about alternatives to publicly funded probation and halfway houses appeared in The New Yorker.